Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin. Breathe in, breathe out, me and more. Breathe in, breathe out, never mind. It was time, number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
To the Astros, but Sean obsessed with trading during the break, and it is that time as the finals are over. So now that the NBA's showcase is out of the way, teams, there's some belief that the NBA doesn't want anyone making trades while the finals are going on. So now that that's over, if there is going to be player movement with team with players that are currently under contract, it'll happen now. And you kind of have the draft as a soft deadline, because if you're trading picks, a team who's acquiring those picks wants to be able to tell you who to draft before the trade becomes official, because the NBA has this weird thing where sometimes picks don't actually get handed over to the team in the trade until the league year begins. So he hit me with the trade that was very insulting, and it's so insulting I won't repeat it, but...
It can't be repeated on air.
Not for me. It's dirty words. But there is a list on CBS Sports. Now, as I mentioned, the finals are over. And only one Rocket makes the top 50 of potential potential players in a trade. Mostly because they see the Rockets as a team that isn't looking to trade their young players. It's the obvious. Well, it's not that obvious considering his importance, but the one guy that made that list was Kevin Durant. Like, they rank him by tiers, and they go 1 through 50. Kevin Durant was, like, in the middle of the list, so I don't think he's getting traded. If the Rockets could, maybe they can make an addition on the margins, but running it back appears to be the approach, and also maybe it's their only approach, because the one player you would make a trade for to break up what's left of your young pieces, other than Amen, because Shams last week said Amen appears to be the one guy who's untouchable. The one guy who you would make the trade for is Giannis, and Giannis doesn't want to play in the West. So it looks like the Rockets, for the most part, are going to look very familiar to what they were last year. But it is trade season, so you will see these things pop up. And there was reporting that that some Rockets personnel wants to be patient, others don't. So we'll see what direction that swings, depending on who, as far as players, are actually available. Okay. So the Astros take 2 out of 3 from the Royals in a very entertaining series, for one that there probably wasn't a lot of eyes on with the World Cup starting, and just it's Astros-Royals, so who was actually paying attention other than diehards? But you had some very entertaining games. Your pitching really faltered throughout, but your bats were able to overcome it. Shout out to Bryce Matthews, because when he hits a home run, he hits it a long way. He had a couple bombs in that Royals series. And the Astros bats, after first they jumped out 9-0, and then they had to hang on. Eventually they won that one 10-8. That was the 10th run was a Bryce Matthews home run. And in another game, they fought back after being down. There was some rain. They're down 7-5 before the rain, right before the rain, and then they tie it, and then eventually get the go-ahead run. So they took the first two games of that series where their bats just pounded the Royals. And then yesterday, nothing, which is part of the Astros curse for Astros fans. You score all these runs, and the whole joke about saving some for tomorrow, and then they don't score in a 4-0 loss against Arrigetti, who is not it's not pitching to the level he pitched at earlier. Like, the month of June has not been a good month for Spencer Arrigetti in comparison to what he has been. Now, the Astros had found a way to win games even when he wasn't at his very best. But if you start to look at his month, including yesterday where he went 6 and gave up 4, in the previous game he gave up 6 and gave up 4, and then against Pittsburgh, in the game we thought he and Paul Skenes were going to go blow for blow in this pitcher's duel, he only went 4 and gave up 6 runs. So it is a bit of a regression, which really shouldn't be a surprise, because despite Arrigetti's start, I was surprised but also very happy because he was a one that people certainly believed quite a bit in because of his stuff. Not everyone's Hunter Brown, where there's just this linear rise to being one of the best pitchers in baseball. Sometimes there are stops and starts to the progress, and he has certainly made a lot of progress. And even the start yesterday wasn't terrible. Like, he's not out there getting shelled outside of the game against Pittsburgh. He's just been normal, I would say, as opposed to the guy who was an early maybe dark horse for a potential Cy Young. The month of June has maybe quieted that, but they have still been able to win plenty of games with him on the mound. It just didn't go their way yesterday because the bats just had an outage. So they dropped 2 out of 3 to the Royals. Excuse me, they win 2 out of 3 against the Royals, and they got the news that Hunter Brown will pitch tomorrow. They host Detroit, and Fromber's coming back, but it'll be Hunter Brown tomorrow against Fromber. And tonight it'll be Tang, who like Spencer Arrigetti, has not had a good month, and he'll go against Troy Melton, who's been good for the Tigers. So, if you just go by recent performances, the Astros are at a disadvantage as far as their starting pitchers, but the Tigers stink. So you can take that into account as far as game one of the series. But the question was asked, and I ask you, Sean. Will Fromber's exit overshadow all the things he did here? And that is in terms of the tribute video. I think he's getting one. I don't think there's any question about it. But how do you think – so I guess the other one is, how do the fans react to Fromber? I think the hardcore people on Twitter might have a problem, but the people who go to the games, I don't think Fromber's going to get a bad reception.
Yeah, yeah. A 100% tribute video. The man threw a no hitter. Like, he's getting and was on a championship team. Like, he's getting a tribute video. I agree with you on the second part as well. I think on Twitter, Astros fans. I think Astros fans on Twitter are much more feisty than the ones that are at the games, than the 20,000 that show up to a, well, actually, these days, a little bit less, to a Wednesday night game against the Tigers. Like, I don't think people are going to be, I think it'll be mostly warm. It won't be, you know, blow the roof off the place applause, or it won't be not a dry eye in the house, but it'll be a respectful, you know, like, thank you for your time here. I think the people that, like, really obsess about this team every day on Twitter, like, they're the ones that really have the problem with Fromber.
There is, I believe, a consistent disconnect between the people who are the people you just talked about, the people on Twitter, and even, you know, the people we appreciate because they're listening to us as much as they can versus the people who just want to go and enjoy the Astros. There's just a different level of connectivity. They may all be fans, they may all love their team, but the people who get into the minutia of Eric Gedde's numbers over the last month versus the people who, hey, I want to put on my Altuve jersey and go enjoy a game. I think their level of being locked in as far as, man, Fromber really has some times and games where he allows something that doesn't go right to fester and it turns into a big inning, or he crossed up his catcher. That stuff, I don't know that it reaches the number of people who are going to go to the games and remember and then punish him for it by booing him. In fact, they do know. They don't. It doesn't.
So yeah.
It's not going to be the type of reaction maybe the people on Twitter who look at Fromber starts in Detroit and hope he fails compared to the people who are just going to go to the game and, oh yeah, I remember Fromber's here. Let's applaud him for what he's done.
Yeah, the Astros fans on Twitter are much more. They're just in the wars every day with themselves, with other teams,
the war within.
Yeah, with the media, with Jeremy Branham, with Chandler Rome, with whoever. They're just in the wars every day. And you're right. Most people that actually go to Dyken Park, like, they want to wear a jersey, they want to root for the home team, and like other than like Garrett Cole. And I don't know, Carlos Beltran. Like, they don't really have that much animus for guys that leave. You know, like that's not really something that happens like in real life. It feels like.
And I wonder how much that Beltran thing was shaped by the fact that social media wasn't around. So all you might have heard, maybe the messaging from the Astros was, "Hey, we tried to give him a contract, and he didn't." Take it. Although if you're listening to sports talk radio, but there it is, the difference. Like, you know, I remember back then John Lance talked about how there wasn't really an offer. They gave him one after he had already made his decision.
Yeah. And now the Astros, the Astros still do that. You know, they do that with George Springer. You know, like they still.
They will announce that, hey, we tried.
Yeah.
After the player in question made his decision and knew there wasn't really anything on the table, as they try to get people on their side, at least the organization, and it is different ownership group. In some cases, the same way they operate. Maybe that's the only way if you just want to compare Graydon to Jim Crane. I mean, not paying stars.
Post James Cook, I don't know.
I don't really want to dive deep because the comparisons become less favorable as you go beyond the James Click time with the Astros. So let's hope we only get to talk about it in a joking way, because if they were like point for point, bar for bar, that they get ever closer and closer, then we know the bad times are coming. I mean, we could sense it around the corner at least a little bit, but. At least if we continue to keep some separation between the Crane era and the McClain era, then you can see there may be at some point a bright spot around the corner. But yeah, look, jokes aside, the Crane has done a great job here. We know the titles, all that stuff, the competitiveness. But as the talent continues to seep and leak and go away, I don't know that there's much confidence right now that this particular group has an answer for it, and that may be why the names will change at the end of the year if they continue to be in this mode where you can win a series here or there, but you're dropping more than you'd like, and you can't put together any type of a winning streak because your starting rotation is far too volatile to get that done. It's two here, then drop one, and in this case it wasn't even because of your pitchers but because of your offense, but they've been hovering around this 6 to 8 games below 500 mark for, it feels like, a month, as just the wins have not been able to pile up, and they'll try to get one back against Detroit tonight with Tang, who has not pitched well recently, so that just speaks to the volatility. All right, we'll go to break with that. Certainly still taking your call, 713-780-3776. Lexi, who's here, who's a part of our social media team, she just heard her name. Trust me, Lexi, it won't be like John when he talks about you. I'm just talking about the fact that you texted me because the people here at the DraftKings Sportsbook wanted to know whether they could turn up the televisions because, you know, they're running a business here, and they've had the televisions turned down as a courtesy to us for really all morning. Now, you know, it's after 11. Games are on for people to watch as Cabo Verde and Spain are scoreless. Now they want to turn their TVs up, so it's fine. We'll go to break with that. We'll get into a couple more things as Tank Dell spoke over the weekend as he makes his recovery. So I'll give you a little update on Tank because he gave one to us. We will be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
So, I love coming to the Golden Nugget. They do a great job helping us out while we're here. You should come out here if you have the opportunity. As you know, John tells you quite a bit. Get Vegas-style casino without having to get on the plane. And the DraftKings Sportsbook is alive with the Cabo Verde Spain game. So whether it be the World Cup or another big sporting event, this is the place to be. And, of course, let's not forget about the casino and the restaurants and the rooms themselves. So if you need a getaway, it's the summer, if you want to just spend a couple days here, and it doesn't take long to get here, the Golden Nugget is for you. So when I come here, I don't have access to all the apps on my television, so you got to make choices. Now, at least in my room, they have in the TV, you can watch just Netflix. You just got to give them your information, and your account pops up. And that's what I chose to do after the Tunisia-Sweden game got out of hand. Sean, are you aware of this doc? I watched a couple. I went with the murder crime docs last night. Are you aware of the one called Maternal Instinct?
That sounds familiar. Is it the one with the lady in the car with the baby?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know the like details, but I vaguely remember the story.
Since it is relatively new, I won't give it away, but I will tell you, it just gets worse and worse.
Okay, it's one of those.
It just gets every reveal is even worse. First, the person who looks the worst, other than the accused and convicted, is the significant other. He is a country boy by trade. He's into hogs and all that stuff. And you'll figure out what I mean when you watch it.
Oh, no.
It's just how it's not. Oh, what he's doing is not terrible.
Oh,
just
okay.
He's not into hogs in the way that it's not Deliverance or anything.
Okay, I just say
he's not making anything squeal.
You said he looked really bad.
he looks bad because of his stupidity. Like if you were trying
simple
to
boy.
Draw up. The dumb, simple boy who has been drawn in and just can't figure things out, it's him. Like, his entire family is telling him something's wrong, but he's like, he's not buying it because the woman in question is like, hey, they're out to get us, don't believe them, and he decides not to believe them. And then at the end he goes, I never even loved her. If you never even loved her, why did you allow... Sorry, I'm getting upset because of how dumb he is in all this. Look, he is in some ways a victim. He's not the biggest victim. There is a giant, giant crime that happens, and it, as I said, it just gets worse and worse. It's a nightmare for the people, the family of the victim. But Maternal Instinct, I watched that one, and I watched one about this competitive like cyclist. And, of course, it's a murder, another murder doc, so I watched that because I like to save all the shows I normally watch for my home TV. I had when I was figuring out getting here, this was last week, figuring out when I was going to leave and all those things, and then I realized that I thought that the premiere of House of the Dragon season 3 was yesterday, and I was like, you know, I gotta wait till Tuesday. I can't watch the premiere on my laptop because didn't have HBO here. At least I don't believe so. I didn't really check. I just thought we didn't have it, so I avoided that. House of the Dragon season 3 premieres next Sunday, so I'm excited about that. You know, Golden Nugget on this weekend, House of the Dragon next weekend,
yeah,
and then World Cup in between. That's pretty good. So that's how I adapt when the games aren't great or the Astros played earlier in the day. Just throw on a Murder Doc in Maternal Instinct. I'm telling you, if that's your bag, this one just escalates. By every 15 minutes, the woman who is the subject of the doc, she just adds another thing that's absolutely nuts. So yeah. I would recommend that.
So like subject matter wise, completely different, but it is a lot like the Firefest docs where it's like, oh, it just keeps getting crazier for the entire documentary. Like it's one of those where maybe Tiger King, another one where it's just. Again, different situations, but it's just like the amplifier just gets turned up one by one by one the entire time.
And it's a thing where as you watch it, you're like, okay, this is bad, but I try to avoid pausing so it doesn't come up how much time is left, whatever. So okay, well this will end and this woman's terrible, but okay, but hold on, wait a minute. There's even more, and it just escalates to a point where you get a moment,
yeah.
For the parents of the victim where you can't even believe anyone had to ever go through something like that. So it is a interesting doc. Entertaining is kind of an odd way to put it, but you will be engrossed if you decide to watch Maternal Instinct on Netflix. Dr. I saw you hung up. I was going to get to you here shortly because you tweeted me over the weekend about a name of a Japanese player, which, sure, for you, is a perfect name. And speaking of that, the Japanese contingent was in Dallas for their game against the Netherlands, and they're having, at least some of the fans are having the time of their life. It is part of the experience here to watch fans from other countries just take in the American way of life, whether it be the food and the portions or just going to places that they don't have in their country. And I think what we're about to play sums up the Texas experience and very wise words from this Japanese fan.
Where are you guys from?
Where's everyone from?
Japan!
Japan. Hey. What do you think of America, of Texas?
Texas is good. Okay. Everything is big.
What better way to describe Texas, Sean? It's good and everything is big.
Look, yeah, you nailed
it. I mean, you know, he's not. You know, his native language isn't English, but you understand him completely in his description of Texas, and no mention of belts or boots or horses. Just a simple sentence to describe the great state of Texas. It's good, and everything is big. Thank you, sir, and hopefully you enjoy better cities than Dallas in your stay in Texas. But I'm sure Dallas was a fine
yeah,
time for you.
It is funny. I'm so focused on, or just like naturally, like I really can only take it one game at a time, one match at a time.
So of course,
so I am like, oh yeah, the Germans get the, you know, they come to Houston, whatever, da da da, and you know, Curacao's, you know, smaller. I don't really know what their contingent is, and it's like, oh yeah, Wednesday it's gonna be Portugal, and then it just like keeps going and going and going, and you know, I don't know where. I don't think Japan plays in Houston, at least in the group stage. But just the idea of like discovering America through three group stage matches, and like I don't know if people travel with the team and make it a full vacation, but just the idea of like showing up in Dallas and just being like, so this is what America's like, huh? Like this is it, huh? Showing up to Houston this weekend for all the Germans and being like, oh, okay, I kind of get it. It's hot.
And the German squad, I don't know if it was Florian Wirtz or someone else. I forgot who, maybe it was Kimmich, who was talking about. And everyone is very, at least the players, have been very, not just about Houston, but other places, an acknowledgement that they're ambassadors of the sport and they're ambassadors for their country. And they try their best. I'm not saying they're faking it, but they want to acknowledge that, hey, we want to enjoy this place. This is a great place to be, a very beautiful place, and we're just happy to be here. I was like, how much of Houston did Kimmich actually see? Like, did he get to see any of the greenery?
Discovery Green was very.
Yeah, what did he see when he's talking about how beautiful this place is? Look,
we went to Treasures, we
know our city. I mean, in some spots it's beautiful, in other places it's a concrete jungle. I don't know what he actually saw, but that is kind of the tenor of everyone. Look, yeah. This city is great no matter where they are. We're happy to be here. We love the people, so on and so forth. Because it might be the first taste for a lot of these areas of the country to find out anything about what maybe not so much an Australian because they've become part of popular culture here. But if you are someone based in, let's say, Seattle, I don't even know who's rolling in there beyond the Australians when the U.S. play them. But they're going to be hosting a lot of different cultures from countries who maybe there's not a lot of experience with.
Yeah.
Familiarity yeah. with. Yeah. And you're like, huh. And the players have taken it upon themselves to go, look, we're not going to say anything negative about you. Oh, Spain almost scored a great save by the Cabo Verde goalie. But it seems like so far the World Cup is going pretty well, unless you're English, where your stuff gets stolen.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. Everyone's being a good ambassador, you know. Yes, we love Auburn, Alabama. I'm sure Lionel Messi had a great time in Jordan Hare Stadium. I'm keeping an eye out for the podcast appearances
afterwards.
2 weeks after the World Cup.
I wonder once they're away and out of the country, what they'll say.
We saw with the NBA bubble. Everyone is a good soldier in the NBA bubble. When you leave the NBA bubble, you're like, man, that stuff sucked. That's
not a bad point. Yeah, hey, this is real hoops. And then, you know, it took a couple years, but yeah, that title was illegitimate. There was even a Laker who said it. I forgot who said it. It's not the
Kuzma?
It's not real.
Feels like Kuzma.
I don't know if it was. I don't know. But I think I know Caruso. No, it was Caruso.
Oh, yeah.
Caruso
said after. Because he got another one.
After winning last year's title with the Thunder, he goes, yeah, this one means more.
Just means more.
We will see it in the podcast to come once they get in front of their regular media back in the countries where they play their club football, whether all these great ambassadors for the countries in the world of soccer have some negative things to say. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fried food over there. I mean, giant portions.
They weren't kidding about the fatties. Yeah.
no, it'll be no wonder Americans are all fat.
Yeah.
You see the portions and all the fried food?
I want to know what Yuminium All really thought of pushing
that
Walmart
he went to. Yeah, there are
Alabama.
There's a reason there are accounts for people, the people of Walmart. There are reasons social media accounts thrive. See, I don't know. He had a lot of, he had a full cart. Shopping cart, so whatever he saw, at least as far as merchandise, he was happy with. So we'll see about that.
Yeah. Dre's back on hold.
Let's get to him before we go to break. Dr. Dre wants to talk about, I think, a certain Japanese name. What's up, Dr. Dre?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Sorry about that. I had a little mishap out here in Baytown getting loaded up in the big rig. Man, I was watching, you know, three of the games yesterday, and Japan has a man named Tiny Kuchi. I mean, the watching on Telemundo, of course, it sounds hilarious. So I was having a fit. Tiny Kuchi, you know, with the ball. And last but not least, I do have to mention, why does Dwight Howard claim that he was tricked into his marriage with his ex-wife? Did he think she was a man? I don't know. We'll check y'all later, fellas. Appreciate the time.
There's a lot going on there as Spain narrowly scores. They hit the post at point-blank range, and then they headed the ball, and another save by the Cabo Verde goalkeeper. As far as Dr. Dre's observation about the Japanese player, I don't believe it's spelled the way he wrote it to
it's
me.
Taniguchi.
It's Tani. Yeah, he said tiny, and he also wrote it in that way to me. It's not Taniguchi. It is, as Sean said, what, Tamaguchi?
Taniguchi.
Taniguchi.
I thought he was getting this. I thought it was a different Japanese player that I saw turn some heads on social media with an interesting name.
Oh, yeah. I knew about this player because I read up because it came across my timeline months before the tournament. As we talked about, there are going to be players from different parts of the world who, just because you may not be familiar with how the game is right now, you're not going to expect that player to play for that country. But it while it's a giant world, it's also a small one. People can travel, and if you meet someone, you might have a kid with that person, and depending on the situation, the kid, you may decide to live in Japan, even if you're not from Japan. And I believe the player Sean is talking about is their goalkeeper. His name is Zion Suzuki. He plays for Parma in Italy. And you hear the name Suzuki, okay, that sounds like a Japanese player. And then you hear the name Zion, you're like, huh. That doesn't sound like someone I would expect to play for Japan. Well, his story is he was born in Little Rock, Arkansas. His father is Ghanaian. And he was named after Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And his family moved to Japan while he was young. And that's why he is playing for the Japanese national team. So Zion Suzuki, he got the name in a way that you might not have thought of, or maybe you did think of, but also his dad is he was born here and his dad is Ghanaian. And if you saw him out there, it is now not unique in the world today. But for people who weren't aware, you probably would have been surprised to see a Zion Suzuki at 6'3" playing for the Japanese national team.
You would have been like, wait, I thought this guy played for the Lakers. What is like, going on? How talented is Hachimura?
Well, there it is. You do have Rui Hachimura playing for the Lakers, but his name is Rui, which,
yes,
as far as Japanese names are concerned, that's not surprising.
If his name was like Raymond Hachimura, Hachimura, yeah, then we would.
Yeah, but Zion Suzuki is a young goalkeeper. He's 23 years old. He plays for Japan. And in that game, Japan scored the tying goal to make it 2-2 on a header. And right before that, the color analysts, I think Ian Dark might have been on the game or something. No, it wasn't Ian Dark, it was someone else. But the color analyst, a former goalkeeper, he played for the England squad who tied the U.S. back in South Africa, where he gave up that bad goal to Clint Dempsey, where the ball just skirted through his hands and went in. He was talking about how the Japanese should stop throwing in crosses because they're not tall. He tried to dance around it by saying they have low center of gravity. He really wants to say they're shorter. They're shorter than the Netherlands, so they shouldn't be throwing in crosses. I mean, which technically, you're just analyzing the game, the Netherlands have Virgil van Dijk and other tall players. The Japanese are not going to win that battle, but they did score on a header.
Yeah.
The header bounced. First, one Japanese player headed the ball, and then it bounced off another Japanese player's head in the goal. But he couched it as low center of gravity, as opposed to saying these dudes are short. They shouldn't be crossing the ball. They have a distinct disadvantage, but it worked out for him because, what I mean, the South Koreans play bangers. But if you look at Japan's history in the World Cup, they do play some exciting games too, and they did yesterday against the Netherlands. So Taniguchi, not Tiny Gucci, and Zion Suzuki, a couple of the standouts, at least, well, one for Dr. Dre and one for just, hey, this is a world game, the world's game, isn't it, when you look at when you watch Zion Suzuki play for Japan. All right, we'll go to break with that. you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We got a couple more minutes here at Easter. I was going to say Easter of 9. We're there on Friday. But at DraftKings Sportsbook in the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. We got one more segment to go. We will be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
This Friday, the entire station will be at East River 9 for our soccer watch party. Come watch Team USA with us at Birdie's Ice House starting at 10 a.m. You can register to win a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. Just find the promo team so you can enter for your chance to win. The winner will be announced at 5:30, and the winner will not have to be present at the time of the drawing. So we got that going on Friday, and also tomorrow with Will Kunkel and Jeremy and Joe. They'll be out at Ducky McSweeney's from 12 to 6 in the same setup where you can show up, enter for a chance to win, and you don't have to be there for the drawing. And that gift certificate's from Republic Boot Company as well. And then on Wednesday, the guys will be at Watson's House of Ales from 12 to 6. So we're going to be out pretty much all week and giving you chances to win as well. Keith, I see you'll get to you here before we wrap it up. We may have our first goalie or goalkeeper star of the tournament, because if you're not watching the Spain versus Cabo Verde game, you're not watching the Cabo Verde goalkeeper pull pretty much a Tim Howard. If you remember Tim Howard from the 2014 World Cup, where he kept the U.S. in it against Belgium until the dam finally broke in extra time, you've got the Cabo Verde goalkeeper just getting peppered by Spain shots, and it is scoreless at halftime. I hope I'm saying his name right. Vozinha, the goalkeeper for Cabo Verde, putting on a show, and Spain remains scoreless. Lamine Yamal has not entered the game. We will see if he does enter in the second half, because Spain's not having problems creating chances. They are simply not putting them away. And while they only have four shots on goal, part of that is because they've hit the post, I believe, a couple times now, but at least once. But when they are putting it on frame, at least classified as on frame, because for some reason, if you hit the post, it's not considered a shot on target, the Cabo Verde goalkeeper is making some stops. Not at Tim Howard's level yet, but I imagine Spain will try to pour it on in the second half. And if he keeps them off the score sheet, we're going to have at least the first goalie who's a star in this tournament. All right, let's get to Keith before we wrap it up. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call at the end of the show. NBA Finals is wrapped, you know, but with the NBA calendar, you know, the draft's basically next week. Summer League's the week after that. So it comes kind of quick with the summer. But looking at the Knicks roster, like, everybody watched the finals. Deuce McBride with some forgettable games. Looks like he could not buy a shot maybe for the last three or four games. You see a trade market out there for Deuce McBride? If you're the Rockets, what would you give up for McBride? Or if you're maybe another team, what do you think Deuce McBride's value is? Because Alvarado clearly shined, and McBride just could not, you know, find the basket with his, you know, his kind of his catapult release on the jumper. Secondly, the Spurs, you know, Mitch Johnson, so many instances where has issues.
John, did we drop or did we lose Keith?
No, I think there you go.
Okay.
Oh, no. I think we lost him.
So, as far as Deuce McBride, he's got 1 year left on his deal. Not making a lot of money, just under $4 million. I would imagine with the new lottery odds, first-round picks may even become more valuable. So I don't think Deuce McBride, not that you said this, but as far as his value, I don't think he's going for something in the first round. Maybe he would go for a couple second-round picks if someone really wanted a backup guard who can go put the ball in the bucket. Look, yeah, we talked about it last week. He was not good in the finals. He couldn't knock down shots. The Knicks' backcourt Their backups are small, outside of really, now I'm losing his name, Jordan Clarkson. He's bigger than Alvarado, certainly, and Deuce McBride, but Clarkson not known as a defender. I thought if the Spurs were going to win the series beyond Wembanyama's play, that taking advantage of those non-Brunson minutes because their backcourt was a little lacking, the Knicks, at least, backcourt was, I thought that might have been the difference, but turns out the Spurs were just going to continue to blow games. So whether the Knicks' backcourt was on the floor or not, the Spurs were just going to play poorly. I don't know what he's worth, final year of a deal. And I think any team who wants a smaller guard who can score a little bit in the playoffs, you're probably looking at, you throw a couple seconds the way of the Knicks to see if they would part with him. But also, why would the Knicks do it? He's low cost. And their other backcourt backups were guys they picked up off the street. So they don't have team control, if we go use a baseball term, for next season. So Deuce McBride at least has a backup in the regular season, proved his worth. I don't think he's going anywhere for that Knicks team. Yeah. I mean, if I was advising them, I would say you might want to find maybe a bigger guard who can play for you in the backcourt, because there's no guarantee Alvarado's coming back or Clarkson's coming back. So
that's my thought. I think you need to bring back Alvarado before. If you bring back Alvarado and let's say Clarkson too, like then maybe you just flip McBride and then use that to try to get the bigger guard. You know, like you don't need all, you know, with Brunson, all four of those guys. But I don't know. I think it's also like basically McBride's only chance to like make some serious money. So I don't know if he wants to be the third or fourth guard on the Knicks next year. You know, this is the Pat Riley disease of me. You know, who knows what Deuce McBride, he's like, all right, cool, got my ring. Now it's time for me to take over the league. I could be Jalen Brunson. I just watched Jalen Brunson be Jalen Brunson.
This is what you were doing with OG. Now you're trying to do it with Miles or Deuce McBride. You're trying to break up the Knicks. You're trying to tear the Knicks apart.
I'm not trying to. I'm just, this is reality. This is, I mean, Pat Riley came up with it 40 years ago.
It's true.
I'm just an acolyte. Like Eric Spoelstra, I'm also an acolyte of Pat Riley.
So you decided and Chris Quinn. Position yourself as the next Nick Wright, and now the next Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, well, certainly, next Chris Quinn.
Certainly, okay, still lofty heights. One of the lead assistants for one of the more stable franchises
Ron
in
Butler?
The NBA. Well, come on. He's a top 10 pick. What are we doing? But maybe Deuce McBride gets his extension from the Knicks, and they reward him for his play, and he doesn't go anywhere.
Give me the ball.
Okay. It's only crossed my mind because another guard talked about this. It was now Jeremy Lin, who really wanted to be a Knick, except they didn't want him, and that's why he wound up a Rocket. So it's a place I think Deuce McBride would want to be as the backup guard on a team who just won a title. But Keith being Keith, of all the people to call about Deuce McBride, he will be a fine Rocket, but what does that mean for Reed Sheppard if they're signing Deuce McBride to be your backup guard off the bench? They have a guy they hope elevates himself to a role where he is a competent backup to Fred VanVleet, who will be back next season. We'll be back tomorrow. That means we're done for the day. Rich Eisen, noted Knick fan, is coming up, so get ready. We'll see how over top he may be about his boys winning a title. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Texas is good. Everything is big.
I mean, come on. I think that's the quote of the tournament so far. Thank you to that Japanese fan in Dallas. All right. We're out of here from the DraftKings Sportsbook in the Gold Nugget in Lake Charles. We'll be back tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.